Welcome to Zephyr Yoga Inspiration. I offer these podcasts for free, and your support really does make a difference and is appreciated. To make a donation, please click the link in the episode description or visit zephyryoga.com. Welcome to this practice on ahimsa, non-violence, non-harming. This is the first yama of the five yamas of the eight-limb yoga according to the Yoga Sutras. These are moral and ethical guidelines in actually how to have better relationships to ourselves in relationship to the society in the world around us. Now, ahimsa is non-violence, satya is truthfulness, asteya, non-stealing, brahmacharya, boundaries, and aparigraha, non-possessiveness, are all these guidelines in shaping our journey of our lived experience. This is more about understanding our dharma and our practice of yoga, refining the tools in which we can skillfully navigate with better actions, better karma, with loving awareness, so we can create lasting fulfillment in this lifetime, deeper contentment within, and freedom or even liberation from what is causing us pain and suffering. And we suffer as a result of living, you know, through the hands of ourselves, others, and nature. We are subjected to life's changing circumstances, and we cannot help but be affected by it. And we worked over the past few sessions on the malas, which are the stains or impurities over our lens of our heart, our mind, and our body, in the way that we become very attached to this limited ego sense of self of what I am, what I feel, I am what I think, and I am what I do. And as we investigated that journey and understanding what is motivating the way that we feel, the way that we think, and the way that we take actions, we start to see that we are very human. We're subjected to these mental emotional afflictions called the kleshas, which are avidya, ignorance, ashmita, egotism, raga, which is attachment, dvesha, aversion, abhinivesha is fear. And the attributes to those kleshas, those mental emotional afflictions, can be one of very rajasic qualities, these very overstimulated, overactive, or we can have a very tamasic perspective, this dark, heavy, depressive, or we can have very sattvic qualities where we feel very serene within our experience. But we start to see that we're just really human. Every day we wake up and we are so human. And we come to our practice, we come to our mat to actually take responsibility and accountability for our humanness, our messiness, our shadow side, our light, you know, everything that makes you you. So can we do it in such a way where we can love ourselves, be more compassionate, more patient, or are we going to just use our practice to brutalize ourselves and punish ourselves to reinforce that we're not enough and there's something wrong with us? And, you know, the kind of like, if I can just get to that next pose, then I'll be okay. Or if I do 108 sun salutations, then I'll be okay. And we start to see that actually our approach to asana, our approach to our mind, our approach to our breath, really needs some guidelines to be able to navigate this human experience, because left to our own devices, it's almost like, you know, we completely are stuck in old habits. And those habits we learn. And some of those habits are one that aren't very helpful and can be very abusive. So I found this really interesting, you know, ahimsa, non-violence. Himsa in Sanskrit means judgment. I know in myself, there's a lot of judgment, self-criticism, self-beat. There is this way in which I put myself on such a pedestal of expectation that I cannot some days reach, and therefore I fall short, and therefore I feel justified in being mean to myself. And I think I'm not the only one in experiencing this. One of my teachers describes judgment kind of like a fist. As you squeeze your fist right now, squeeze it as hard as you can, and notice now you're not breathing. Notice as you clench your fist, your heart clenches, your mind clenches, your physical body is contracting. And notice that there's a little bit of pain on letting go, even though the fist doesn't feel nice. Oh my gosh, there's a little bit of pain. But then after a while, as we start to let go, there's relief and there's respite and there's an opening. And as we open, we can actually see what is at the source that is motivating us to contract. So this was our work over the sessions of the malas, looking at what kind of stories that are stuck on the lens of our perception, on our heart, our mind, and our body, that keeps us stuck in this limited sense of self, that I'm not enough as I am, you know, that your thoughts make you feel separate and alone and small, and that influences your actions, because what is motivating you is your thoughts and your emotions. So if we look at, you know, what's going on, and we embrace our own humanity, we start to see that we can actually affect the way that we live our lives. We can affect our influence of how we are choosing to live our life. So this is all that lessons around karma. Karma means actions. Karma means choices. And that every choice has a consequence. And that we have a responsibility to ourselves to take wiser actions, not only to affect our own present day karma, current karma, but it will affect our future karma. And the fallout of that will affect other people in the society we live in. So there's a unique purpose to your embodiment, to my embodiment. We've been given certain opportunities to wake up in any given time to actually see the value of, you know, working with being human. So we come to our mat, we pause and self-reflect on our mat, and we start to honor kind of what's going on for us, our shadow side, our unmet needs, our vulnerability. And we listen, we develop this buddhi. And in this buddhi, it's that intuitive guide and knowing to help make better choices along our path. We choose certain asanas that get us to be provoked, to get us to react and go, ooh, pause, breathe through this. How can I respond in a way which would be more kind, patient, loving, rather than judgmental, critical, and violent or harming? So the emphasis is on the feeling of ahimsa, not just the nature of the act of just not harming and being aggressive, but the feeling, the bhavana. And as we sit with the feeling, we notice this known truth within. As we cultivate Yoga Sutra 133, non-judgmental awareness, friendliness, joy, and compassion. That's what we're meant to be cultivating. Not more judgment, not more self-beat, not more self-loathing, not more self, you know, doubt and violence. Cultivate more loving awareness. Notice what is looking. Dropping into that wakefulness, that awarefulness, that mindfulness. And then seeing what needs to be befriended. Be your own friend. And as you bring joy and compassion to whatever is felt, what we're doing is actually developing and entertaining the feelings of maitri, or you might hear it in Pali called metta. This is friendliness. And karuna, compassion. And as you draw into that place where you feel like a fist, more friendliness. Just like if you came to me and you were like, I'm really having a hard time and I feel really broken inside, I'd just be like, can't fix you, can't solve it, but what I can do is sit with you, see you, make you a cup of tea, you know, talk to you, make you feel really heard and comfortable with your own humanity and not judge you and just love you through it. And so can we offer that to ourselves? And that will influence our thoughts and that will influence our actions. So as we know, see, and act in this maitri, this friendliness, we start to affect the way that we are in relationship with ourselves and that the way that we have relationships with the society around us. So this is what the yamas are trying to point us towards, is giving us these guidelines or restraints and actually, you know, addressing our humanity, but then trying to actually be more skillful in the way that we create karma, that we create actions. So in the Mahabharata, it's a huge text. It holds the Bhagavad Gita, which is all about the path of karma, the path of action, the relationship between Arjuna and Krishna. But there's another part of the text called the Moksha Dharma that states that there's two paths. There's the inward path called Nivritti, which is the path of knowledge. And then there's the outward path, Parvritti, which is the path of action. And I would say that, you know, there's a lot in that, and I'm kind of reducing it to a very kind of simple thing. There's a lot more. I'm kind of not doing it justice. But if you just take those two paths and actually apply it in a practical way, every morning we come to our mat. And it is a remission on a daily basis, contingent upon your spiritual health, this serenity that you experience, this peace, this love and connection is dependent upon that relationship to that grace, to that fullness of presence, that companionship of presence that helps give more meaning and purpose to your life. And when I go inwards on my mat, I honor my humanity, my stinking thinking, my emotional distress, the instabilities felt in my body, addressing the disturbances in the breath that mirror the disturbances in the mind, those four symptoms of suffering, Sutra 131. I look at actually what's underneath that. What is causing me pain and suffering? What is causing that dis-ease within? And it's usually one of the kleshas. And then I kind of go, okay, which guna is more predominant? Am I more rajasic, more tamasic? And how can I bespoke my practice to actually get me into a space where I find lasting fulfillment, deep contentment within, and freedom from whatever's causing me pain and suffering so I can come off of my mat and engage with my life without a fist, without a judgment. Whereas I walk down the street and if I have a fist and someone bumps into me, I'm going to react with a fist. If I react with an open heart, an open hand, an open mind, and an openness to my body, and there's maitri, is the bhavana. If someone bumps into me, I'll react going, oh, wow, we just bumped into each other. Are you okay? I'm okay. Do you need anything? Like, our reaction will be different. So this is a way of taking care of yourself first as you contemplate ahimsa, non-harming, non-violence, as we go inwards and study ourselves, gaining more self-understanding and knowledge. Then we then walk the path of action off of our mat into our daily lives. And we need some help. Those ethical rules to live by, to relate to society and ourselves in it. and abstaining from harming and injuring any being at any time in any manner, that we recognize that this will help reduce our karma. And as we reduce our karma, it leads to more self-discipline on and off our mat, guiding us towards higher states of being and deeper practices in yoga, preparing for deeper practices. So if you want to progress in yoga, Patanjali states, adhere to the yamas and niyamas, and then we go into asana and pranayama and pratyahara, dharana, and then dhyana, and then samadhi. So I hope that helps give you a little taste of what's to come. Now, in our practice, we're going to be working with a few concepts. We're going to be working with twists. Remembering twists, the hips are turning in the opposite direction the shoulders are. Rotation is hips moving in the same direction. And then we're going to be working with binding. Now, a lot of the time, we have a tendency of slouching. And when the shoulders move forward and we try to bind, our shoulder gets stuck and then we get a pinch. So what we're trying to do is affect the glenoid humeral rhythm, the rhythm in which your shoulder moves in the socket, so we can actually bind more effectively rather than getting stuck. So we're gonna just kind of try to create that ahimsa, non-harming, non-violence to our tissues and our body. And then in that, I'm going to ask us, once we find that sthira and sukham, that steadiness and ease within the asana, our method of practice, remembering, is to turn our attention to breath awareness, sensation, and light. And I'm going to try to emphasize, using words, intentions. And so, to begin with, the intention is just to shape your breath to be more patient, kind, and loving than your normal thoughts and actions. Now, that might grit against you and go, that's naff, or I don't want to do that, or I'm not worthy, or I'm not deserving. And notice that judgment. Notice that harsh criticism. It's like a fist. And so if you try that bhavana of ahimsa, as you create that bhavana of maitri, friendliness, of befriending, and actually creating that space to open, to soften. And actually it reveals protective layers. And what is it trying to protect? There might be a vulnerability and unmet need in there that needs your attention. And remembering, as we breathe, prana uses your breath as a vehicle, and prana is inherently healing. Heals that little soft spot, like balm or salve. It actually is inspiring because it brings in light and you get more self-knowledge and understanding of maybe why that fist was around that hurt place. And then it starts to transform. We get that heat, that fire that burns away and dissolves the evil tendencies of malice, of hatred, disdain, which gives rise to actions that inflict injury on ourselves. And then that kind of migrates into acting out towards others. So that transformation within our practice. So by the time we leave our mat, we feel that bhavana of maitri present, that we can go out and adhere to ahimsa, nonviolence.
If you would like to continue to practice, find out more information about the topics discussed, or to donate to this podcast, please visit zephyryoga.com or follow the link in the episode description. I thank you.